Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
Barclays squeezes New Century.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The crisis in the subprime mortgage market has created more ripples across the pond. The British bank Barclays is demanding the immediate repayment of more than $900 million from the troubled leader New Century. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Barclays has confirmed that it's filed a notice of default against New Century. The bank says it doesn't expect to suffer significant losses. All its subprime lending in the US is backed with collateral. But this is a further ominous sign, say analysts, an additional indication that the American crisis has spread to some of Britain's big financial institutions. HSBC has already been affected. As the owner of the largest subprime lender in the US, HSBC has set aside $10.5 billion to cover potential bad debts. The Royal Bank of Scotland also has a big stake in the US subprime market. And analysts say the UK could soon develop its own homegrown problem. Over the past 10 years, subprime mortgages have grown here from 6% of the total to 26% last year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, is Walmart interested in offering mortgages? According to the New York Times, a member of Congress has an email from a Walmart employee. It suggests the company is laying the groundwork for full-service banking, including products like mortgages. This news comes as the House Financial Services Committee gears up for hearings next week on a law that would prevent non-financial businesses, like Walmart, from operating a bank. Asian markets are back on their feet today after a big sell-off yesterday. In Tokyo, the Nikkei closed up 183 points. Stocks are also up in London this morning. As for Wall Street, investors brought a volatile day to a happy ending on Tuesday. The Dow added 57 points to climb to 12,133. The Nasdaq rose 21 points to 2371. And the S&P moved forward 9 points. It's at 1387. OPEC ministers meeting in Vienna say production levels should remain at their current levels. Right now, crude oil prices are hovering at $58.50 a barrel. You probably wouldn't know it, but this is National Alternative Fuel Autos Week. According to a new report, Americans bought a record 1.5 million alternative fuel vehicles last year. That's 50% more than automakers expected. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sarah Gardner.
These alternative fuel cars and trucks accounted for 9% of U.S. sales last year. That included everything from hybrids, like the Toyota Prius, to cars that can run on ethanol, like the 2006 Lincoln Town Car, Morningstar analyst John Novak.
The general trend is definitely towards more of these types of vehicles, and you're going to see more and more options from the automakers.
Analysts say high gas prices will continue fueling production and sales of these cars. Thad Malish at Automotive Technology Research Group expects clean diesel to grow more popular the next few years, and automakers will push it.
That's the way they can save the sales of these large SUVs and their light-duty pickups. There's a huge profit margin on these large vehicles. The manufacturers are simply not going to let that go away.
As of last summer, the state of Texas led the nation in alt fuel vehicles. California was a close second. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
It's March. Bring on the madness. The NCAA tournament games begin today, and CBS is back, offering online video for free. This is the second year for the network, which made a lot of money doing this in 2006. Some of those advertisers, which helped CBS boost its profits, are manufacturers of alcohol, and they're being criticized in ads in some small college papers. David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. David, just how big was March Madness on demand for CBS last year?
Well, gosh, it's been growing really impressively the last couple of years, and it's expected to be up about 70% this time around. So I think even with this growth of the last year or two, there's a lot more on the way. In fact, the demand is anticipated to be so high by CBS that it's going to limit the number of users at any given time to about 300,000 so that its system doesn't crash, which is a pretty nice problem to have.
Yeah, I'll say. What kind of profit is the network looking at this year?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, but when you take a look at this very impressive growth, you can't help but believe that the profits are not going to be far behind that. Les Moonves, the CEO of CBS, suggested earlier this week that online advertising may grow to about $8 to $10 million this time around.
Is this extra money that CBS is getting through these, is any of this going back to the schools at all, or that's separate from?
Well, that's the important thing about March Madness and about college basketball in general. That is funding the NCAA's budget to the tune of about 85%. And I think one of the things we're going to see this year is an ongoing and constant role of public service announcements to make sure that the NCAA is not thought to merely be all about money. So they're really going to go out of their way during the tournament to promote themselves and the good works that they've done. And hopefully along the way, they think they can strike that balance, communicate that balance among academics, athletics, and commercialization.
You mentioned perception problems. What about this issue of alcohol ads during the games?
Well, I think that's a great one. And it seems to pop up every year because someone steps up to question not just the appropriateness of the beer manufacturers during the basketball tournament, but I think even more generally the link between collegiate life and alcohol in general. And this time around, there's a campaign, a small one, a targeted one by the American Medical Association that really doesn't like the fact that college sports is so closely tied to beer. But those that are opponents to the AMA campaign are stepping up to say, you know what, 90% of the people that are involved in the tournament are adults, average age is 48. And so they're trying to diffuse the situation by letting people know that tournament viewership actually skews a little bit older.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.